weather down. But even in the sun, you said you'd take. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. 630 requested Alison Moyet's When I Was Your Girl. She was popular in the 80s for about 14 minutes, if I remember correctly. I liked Alison Moyet. I thought she was great. But yeah, she was 80s, you know, kind of a one-ish, two-ish hit wonder. Yeah. Very cool. So that's Wild Card Wednesday. Any song, any artist, anything. 312-981-7200. Text in your request for Wild Card Wednesday right now. 312-981-7200. All right. So, Esmeralda, do you have any specific feelings about sports mascots?
I don't understand some of them.
Yeah, and the more that I don't understand them, the funnier I think they are.
Yeah, I do like Benny the Bull because he's sassy.
Yes, he is sassy. Remember when the guy who was playing Benny the Bull got loaded and was driving a scooter around in Taste of Chicago like about 15 years ago?
No, I do not.
He was drunk and he was in the Benny. Dan, do you remember that? He was drunk and he was like on a motorcycle or something, and he was in the Benny the Bull costume, and he was like driving around on a motorcycle and like knocking stuff over. That's the one thing I remember about Benny the Bull. Do you know Tommy Hawk at all? Have you ever seen Tommy Hawk in action?
I've seen him, and he too has a bit of sass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the ones with the sass.
Yeah. A lot of them do have sass.
Now, the ones who dance really well.
Well, you know, the mascot thing has always been fascinating to me. Are you aware that Christopher Guest's next movie, which is going to be on Netflix, is called Mascots, and it's about mascots?
I saw the trailer not too long ago,
and I was like, "Are you making this movie specifically for me? What?
Have you ever thought to be a mascot?"
In high school, I was Willie the Wildcat for one football game.
And were you sassy? Wait, why one? Why only one?
Well, because they never let me do it again.
What did you do?
I ran out on the field during plays. I was knocking the cheerleaders over and stuff. I was going up into the stands and knocking food out of people's hands and stuff.
Cool.
And they were like, "Yeah, that's it, DiGilio." I didn't last the whole game. I think they finally kicked me. They kicked me out of the suit. Might have been at halftime or the third quarter. I don't remember. But yeah, Willie the Wildcat. It was not good. By the way, the costume was disgusting. Can I just say that it was absolutely... I don't think Willie the Wildcat saw a dry cleaner's in... I mean, that was probably 1981, 1982 maybe, when I was Willie the Wildcat for a half a game.
So is there any structure, or is it just kind of like a onesie type of outfit?
I can't speak for all of them.
But for the one you were wearing?
The one I was wearing was you stepped into it. You stepped into it, and it had feet. And it had, you know, you would put your arms in there, and you would put gloves on to cover your hands. And you would have shoes on underneath, but there was like a paw covering with no bottom. Okay. So it covered whatever your footwear was.
Because I'm curious.
And then it zipped up in the back.
Yeah.
And then you put the head on, and the head, like, Velcroed.
Okay.
To the, if I remember correctly, it Velcroed.
Because I'm always curious about certain costumes you see. They look very structured. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, how do they clean them?
I know. They didn't in my high school.
Like, I know you say dry cleaners, but, like, if some of them are, like, you, I don't know, if there's cardboard or things in there.
There was no cardboard. This was cloth. It was pretty much all cloth, except for the head, which had, you know, some sort of material in it to make it a wildcat head. And there was like plastic around the eyes so that you can see out. And I could barely see. The head kept moving around. Of course, I was running around like an idiot knocking stuff over, so it didn't help that my behavior was not good. So this mascots movie, real quick, my issue is that I'm one of the only people on the planet that do not like Christopher Guest's movies.
don't?
I'm serious. I don't like them. I think they're mean-spirited. I sometimes think, you know, there are things in it. I think Fred Willard is funny in all of them. But I just think that there just seems to be the thing that bothers me about Christopher Guest's movies. There seems to be like a real dislike of the characters. Like he doesn't like the characters. And he picks easy targets like, you know, bad folk music and dog shows and really bad local, you know, regional theater. And then doesn't do anything with them except make every character look like a moron and make those activities look stupid. And I just don't – they leave a real bad taste in my mouth. All of them do, except for Spinal Tap. And I think that has everything to do with the fact that Rob Reiner directed it. And because in Spinal Tap, they took on the world of heavy metal and really pretentious, pompous rock stars, which is an easy target as well. I mean, how easy is it to make fun of a bad metal band? But the difference between Spinal Tap and, say, Best in Show or Waiting for Guffman is that I cared about Spinal Tap. Like, I cared about them. When I watched the movie, I felt bad for them when the puppet show was listed above Spinal Tap on the marquee. I felt bad. But, like, you're put in a position, especially Waiting for Guffman, which is a movie that I absolutely dislike, you're put in a position to laugh at these people because, one, they're dorky, and two, they do something stupid. You know? Like, regional theater is stupid. Small-town theater is stupid. That's the message of Waiting for Guffman. Dog shows are idiotic, and the people who are at dog shows are idiotic. You know, For Your Consideration, I didn't like that. I just don't like his movies. But when I saw the trailer for this one, I was like, well, I got to watch. Well, I've seen them all. I've seen all of Christopher Guest's movies. I'm not going to not watch them because he's got so many insanely talented people in his, you know, in his company. Like really funny, really talented people, but they play insipid idiots who under Christopher Guest's direction are completely mocked in a very mean-spirited way. I just think they're really mean-spirited movies, and I can't laugh at them. Even if the talent on display is magnificent, the movies make me feel guilty. Like, I can't laugh at this. This is really mean. So we got to take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to be talking about mascots and the fact that I'm the only person in the world that feels that way about Christopher Guest movies. So, all right, we got to take a break. The news is up next. Yeah. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and somebody clearly have been listening to the show. Steve requested Frank Zappa's Disco Boy after having a great conversation with Dave Hoekstra about the great book about disco demolition. 312-981-7200. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Keep them coming. 312-981-7200. We're talking about mascots. And some of the behind the scenes secrets of sports mascots, and I also have a list here of the 10 weirdest mascots from realclearsports.com. And the weirder the mascot, as Esmeralda said, the more that you don't understand them, like the mascots that you don't understand, the funnier they are. Like in the trailer for the Christopher Guest movie, there are a pair of mascots. One is a pencil. One is a pencil sharpener. And they do like an act with it. So, I mean, that movie will at least get some laughs out of me simply because of the mascot costumes. That will make me laugh. But it just makes me laugh every time I see it. If you want me to laugh, a guaranteed giggle to a guffaw from me is to just show me a mascot, especially if they're doing something ridiculous. Now, I do want to mention, a few years ago, my ex-wife and I, about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit less, went to a Cub game, and it wasn't a Cub game. We went to a game at Wrigley Field, and a minor league, they let the minor league team take over. Dan, what would be one of the teams that would have...
Yeah, it was. I want to say it was the Kane County Cougars.
That's it. It was the Cougars. It was the Kane County Cougars, and they were playing another team, and they took over Wrigley Field, and we went because it was only $5 to get in, and it, you know, it was a different experience, and we were like, it was great. So we sat in the bleachers. It was like $5, and they had the Superstars there, and this was one of the main reasons why I wanted to go, because I had heard of the Superstars, and so they obviously they're not, the major leagues are not going to bring the Superstars in. So if you want to see the Superstars, you got to go to small market sports places. They do different in minor league, mostly minor leagues, you know, sports. So the Superstars are a bunch of characters that are named after animals and athletes together. The best being Clammy Sosa. Now, Clammy Sosa enjoys eating umpires. And there is absolutely hilarious footage of Clammy Sosa running around eating umpires in different stadiums across the nation. And it's a highlight of the Superstars show. Like when you see Clammy Sosa come out, you know he's going to eat somebody. He's going to eat an umpire or somebody. And it's hilarious. And the characters include Alex Frogriguez. There is Barack Olama. And there, Barack Olama did not exist when we went because he wasn't president when we went. There's Bear Bonds. Of course, Clammy Sosa. And the picture of Clammy Sosa on the Superstars website is him and two human legs kicking out of his mouth. It's him in the middle of eating someone. There's Centipede Rose. And he's a centipede. There's Cal Ripken Jr. There's Dion Salamanders. Dennis Frogman. Donovan McCrab. Dick Flytail. Derek Cheetah. And, of course, Harry Canary. And Harry Canary was at the Superstar show that we saw at the Kane County Cougars. And I was like a 7-year-old watching it.
I just saw a video of Clammy Sosa eating an umpire.
Is it not the greatest thing you've ever seen?
I don't know what just happened.
It's just, it's absolutely, it's just magnificent. And it was so funny. I was seriously, Heather and I went, and I was giggling like a schoolgirl because they had about 7 or 8 of the characters there, and they all have bits they do. They dance, they do crazy stunts. You know, they did T-shirt tosses, all that stuff that you see at minor league games. You know, they have the T-shirt guns and all that crazy stuff. And people really went nuts over Clammy Sosa. He was the highlight. And I think he ate 2 different people that day, if I'm not mistaken. But I was laughing. I was giggling like a 2-year-old. That stuff destroys me. That stupid mascot stuff just kills me. And I don't really understand why. But to this day, anytime I see a sports mascot, especially a goofy-looking one, it just cracks me up. And when I saw the trailer for the Christopher Guest movie, I'm like, evidently, Christopher Guest is making a movie exclusively for me. So, here are some rules, behind-the-scenes stuff about mascots. They can get fleas. Aaron Blank, a former mascot for the Detroit Tigers, is a trainer with Keystone Mascots. This happened while I was in college. A rival school had a situation where their mascot costume got infested with fleas. They actually dipped it in a flea bath and all the fur fell off. So they ruined their... But I'm not surprised by that, considering my experience being Willie the Wildcat for one day at Luther North. Mascots are not allowed to talk. Kevin Vandervolk, who spent 14 years portraying Bango for the Milwaukee Bucks... Bango said, "I never spoke when I was in character. He would answer yes or no questions or mime a response as Bango from the Milwaukee Bucks. So he's, what is he, a big deer then? Is Bango just a big, is he a, is that what his costume looks like? Bango from the Milwaukee Bucks is just a giant deer head?
Yep, deer with antlers.
Deer with antlers, all right.
But he has hands.
Yeah, that's always a little creepy.
So he's like Bojack.
He's like Bojack, that's right, he's like Bojack. I think he, because he's a basketball mascot, he's probably got to do tricks with basketballs and stuff, and like dunk, so you got to have your hands for that. I'm sure like they put a trampoline in front, you know, because every damn basketball mascot, they put a trampoline in, you know, at the foul line, and then they jump onto the trampoline and then dunk.
By the way, I'm looking at his website, and they have a timeline for him.
He has a website.
I think it's part of the NBA.
But it's his page.
Okay. And in 2002, he got married.
Bango got married?
It's essentially a Bango, but
is it Mrs. Bango?
With a wig on and lipstick.
That's fantastic.
And knee-high boots.
How about Bernie the Brewer? He's got a lady. What's Bernie the Brewer's lady's name? Do you know Bernie the Brewer, Esmeralda? He's awesome.
I do not.
Bernie the Brewer is the Milwaukee Brewers. He's their mascot. Whenever there's a home run, whenever the Brewers hit a home run, he goes down and he's way up in the upper deck. Way up in the upper deck in the bleachers, above the bleachers, at the end of Miller Park. And whenever the Brewers hit a home run, he slides down a giant slide, a circular slide. And he waves a flag, giant flag. And I would imagine that he did a lot of sliding last night.
Yes, he did.
I think Bernie the Brewer got a workout on that slide last night. But he's got a lady. Bernie has got a. I don't know if they're married, but it's like Betty the Brewer. I don't know.
Now I'm going to Boston. In a week or so.
Oh, who do the Red Sox have?
Yeah, and I'm looking Wally. It up. It's Wally. Yeah.
Wally, that's right.
He's just like a monster.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
He's kind of amorphous. But he
looks like a Sesame Street character.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's got a little green monster sister.
That's right.
Named Tessie.
Tessie.
By the way, we should congratulate Bango and Mrs. Bango because Bango Jr. debuted in 2005.
Oh, good for them.
Well, all right. In between, did Bango buy a house? What the hell? I mean, what's going on?
He's got a mascot mortgage.
He gets Bango bills every month. Oh, man. Bango Jr. is his name? And her name is Mrs. Bango? They didn't give her an actual name?
I just assumed that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's kind of crappy that they didn't give her a name.
Yeah, and the website just says Bango gets married, and that's a picture of essentially Bango without antlers and a blonde
and lipstick.
Wig. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love mascots. I love them so much. It's absurd. Completely absurd. All right, and I just want to point out to you, Esmeralda, this. Hey, Dan, do we have this mascot list on our Facebook page? Oh, okay. Esmeralda, go to our Facebook page. And you can see the 10 weirdest mascots. It's on our Facebook page. And number 10, which I'll talk about after the break, number 10 on the list is my favorite mascot of all time. My favorite mascot of all time. And we'll talk about that. It's at realclearsports.com, but we have a list of the 10 weirdest mascots on our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/Nick D Show. And when you look at number 10, that's my favorite mascot of all time. Completely ridiculous. All right. Well, take a break. Hey, coming up a little bit later on, Skip Skipley is going to come out of retirement and quiz Esmeralda and I on some TV shows. He will give us two words, and we have to guess what TV comedy is being described. All right. And keep your requests coming in. And if you want to jump in with texts or comments about your experiences with mascots, or if you've ever seen Clammy Sosa live or Barack Olama. I didn't see Barack Olama. I wonder what Barack Olama does. It's the best. You know, you can hire those guys for like parties and stuff. I'm sure it's a pretty penny though. Superstars. Fantastic. All right, we got a break. I don't believe this. I swear to God. Wild Card Wednesday. Paula requested Frank Stallone's Far From Over in honor from the disco conversation we had earlier, because Far From Over, Frank Stallone's Far From Over, was featured in one of the worst sequels in the history of movies, Staying Alive, with John Travolta, directed by Sylvester Stallone. And that's the only way that Frank Stallone got a gig writing and performing a song, because of his brother. God, that's hilarious. All right. Far From Over, Frank Stallone. Okay, we're talking about mascots here, and we got some mascot rules and some of the weirdest mascots. Esmeralda, did you see Big Red?
Yeah, what is that?
Nothing. That's why he's awesome. He's a big red blob. Big Red from Western Kentucky, the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. And he's just an oversized, fat, furry red blob. And he's one of the most popular mascots of all time.
He's got like a paunch, like a deflated paunch.
Yeah. I think it's one of the, it's my favorite mascot. It just kills me every time I see it. I don't know what it is. Nobody knows what it is. Just a big red blob with a big mouth. So that's Big Red. I've mentioned Big Red before on the show, as I've talked about mascots in the past. And he's way up there. Maybe my favorite mascot. 847 area code. We're talking about mascots here. Bernie the Brewer used to slide into a big beer mug, but they took that out a few years ago. That's right. They took the beer mug out. He used to slide into a giant beer mug. Harold says, I think Mrs. Bango's name is Dorothy. Doe, see D-O-E? Dorothy.
Right.
773 area code. Skates from the Chicago Wolves is the best mascot in town. He's not the best mascot in town, but he rules. Best mascot in town is Tommy Hawk. The thing about Skates, though, is, now, are you familiar? You're not familiar with, no, Chicago Wolves. Are you familiar with the Chicago Wolves hockey team?
I've seen the commercials.
They're awesome. Those games are so much fun to go to. They're at the Allstate. I still call it the Rosemont Horizon. It hasn't been the Rosemont Horizon in 25 years, and I still call it the Rosemont Horizon. Allstate Arena. They play at the Allstate Arena, and you know it's very, very hard to get Hawks tickets. You know, it's a tough ticket, a very hard ticket, also a very, very expensive ticket. But if you want to see some good hockey at a very affordable price that's really kid-friendly, take the family. You can take a whole family to a Wolves game, and it won't break your bank. And a lot of the guys end up in the NHL, or were once in the NHL, and they are now playing there, the AHL. So it's really fun. I used to go to a lot of Wolves games. I haven't gone to a Wolves game in a long time, but I've been to a bunch. I mean, there were times when my friend Benj and I would go to an afternoon Wolves game and then head over to the UC and see a Hawks game. You know, and that's like 6 hours of really fun hockey that you can see live, but it's really affordable. And they do crazy stuff. They shoot, they do all the family-friendly stuff. The T-shirt guns get shot. They have contests where they bring kids out on the ice to skate around. They have blimps flying around the arena dropping coupons for pierogies on top of you. It's great. And Skates is the mascot. Skate is a wolf. He's kind of a scary-looking dude. He's a wolf. He's got claws. But the thing about Skates is that he's on skates, and he does really cool tricks on the ice, whereas Tommy Hawk is in the stadium. But they do have another Tommy Hawk who now comes out on the ice. So there's stadium Tommy Hawk and ice Tommy Hawk. But Skates, one dude, and he does crazy tricks and skates all over the ice, and it's nuts. So, yeah, Skates is awesome. He is awesome. 312 says, the Milwaukee Brewers sausage race is the, don't even get me started about this, how much I love the sausage race. I can't even explain to you how much I love the sausage race. That's the big, you know what's the greatest thing, Dan?
About where you're going here.
About a game that goes 13 innings, 12 innings. Game that goes 12 innings in Milwaukee. You get two sausage races.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I thought you were going Randall Simon.
No, well, Randall Simon with the bat knocking the sausage over And he ends up on our team. And there was a girl in that costume. By the way, Esmeralda, I don't know. Do you know what the sausage race is in Milwaukee?
Is it the, like, are they sausages?
There's the Italian sausage, the hot dog, the Polish sausage, and the bratwurst.
And, it, like, you win something in front of them.
Yeah, he wins. You don't win anything. You just bet on them or whatever. And they have the sausage race. Like, I think it's the sixth inning. Sixth inning that they have it, in between. So, like, in between the top and the bottom of the sixth inning, they have the sausage race. And so they run around the stadium, and everybody cheers them on. And it's this one it's a person inside a giant, and these are giant costumes, like giant. They're some the greatest costumes, some of the greatest costumes I've ever seen in my life. And one time they're having the race, and Randall Simon, who was on, what team was Pittsburgh at that time? Was it Pittsburgh?
I want to say it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at the time, and their sausages are running past the dugout. He takes a bat and smacks one in the side of the head, knocks the sausage over, and ended up being a girl inside the costume.
Oh, no.
By the way, in Milwaukee, you can hire the sausages to come to your wedding. And when Heather and I were planning our wedding, I'm like, we'll pay for them to come to our wedding in Chicago. Just bring the have the guys come in the sausage costume, have them run around our reception.
Despite the incident, the woman named Mandy Block suffered only a scraped knee. Simon was questioned by police and later fined $432.10 for disorderly conduct. Major League Baseball then suspended him for 3 games and fined him $2,000. He issued an apology and an autographed bat to Block. In addition, later that year, Mandy received a complimentary trip to Caraco, Simon's home island, for 2 persons from the Caraco Tourism Board.
Wow! Now, I'm guessing, did he sign the bat that he smacked her with? That's the question that I have. Here's a commemorative bat. It's the one that I smacked you with.
When he returned to Miller Park later that year as a member of the Chicago Cubs, he purchased Italian sausages for an entire section of the ballpark, and during the race had his teammates playfully hold him back as the sausage.
Right, I remember that. I don't remember him buying Italian, because he hit the Italian sausage. So he was in the Italian sausage costume. So he smacked the Italian sausage costume, which is why he bought Italian sausage for everybody. But I remember the bit of them holding him back. Now, you know that now they've got the Nationals do the president race, which is like a takeoff of that, and it's guys in costumes like Lincoln. I don't know who else is it. Was it Washington, Lincoln?
Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and they've recently added Taft and Coolidge.
And those costumes look like sausages. They look almost, they're shaped almost entirely like the sausage guys, except they're presidents. Fantastic. If, you know, I just think more teams need to do some sort of races. All right, we got a break here. We'll talk more about mascots. We got a TV quiz coming up as well. News is next.
Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one. Oh, but you know, yeah, mustache.
All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich with the opening bell coming up in a little less than an hour, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It is Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, Wild Card Wednesday! And the 224 area code requested Wilbert Harrison's Kansas City. Was there any specific reason? No? All right. Maybe they want to talk about one of the mascots from the Royals? What's the Royals?
That was sent in back in the 2 o'clock.
Oh, that was sent that. That's far back. What would the Royals mascot be? The Kansas City Royals have a mascot? What would it be? Just the guy in a crown?
I want to say it's like a lion with a crown.
A lion with a crown? Okay. You know which one I never understood? Never understood the Oakland A's having an elephant. And his name is Stomper. It's on this list, Stomper. Oakland A's. Turns out it's a reference to one-time New York Giants manager John McGraw's calling the team a white elephant, a name they defiantly adapted as their mascot, and by 1909 the A's were wearing an elephant logo on their sweaters. And then in 1997 the elephant took on its current form, Stomper. So that's where that story comes from.
Kansas City mascot is a lion with a head that is a crown. Not wearing a crown, his head is actually a crown. And his name is Slugger with three R's.
Slugger with three R's, and his head is a crown.
I wonder if Mark Carmen was Slugger because he used to work for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think he did like all sorts of things, including promotional stuff like on the field.
Oh, yeah? All right. That might be a good, something for Carm to think about. Now, you know, we were talking about lawsuits. Here's a story about Bernie from the Miami Heat. Bernie, B-U-R-N-I-E, because it's the Miami Heat. See, heat, burn, B-U-R-N, heat. See, heat, burn. So Bernie, he's listed as one of the weirdest. He's, I don't know what he is. He's like a furry creature. He's got a Miami Heat uniform on and a big, long, furry head with big eyes and a basketball for, I guess, a nose. But it seems to be covering his entire face. Unless that's a beard. Is that a beard, Dan, do you think? Like he's got a mouth underneath that, in that hairy part there? You see what it's, the picture I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You think maybe that's a beard and it's his, that's his mouth?
Yeah, I'll go with yes.
Yeah. So Bernie, here's a little fun fact about Bernie. In 1994, Bernie was taken to court. Another run-in with the law here. Bernie was taken to court for dancing with a woman at an exhibition game in Puerto Rico during a timeout. The woman was the wife of a federal judge, and as she pulled away from Bernie, she fell down. Somehow, Bernie faced 20 years in jail for aggravated assault and battery and was also sued for $1 million in emotional distress. The case was settled for 50 grand. Bernie had to pay 50 grand. Oh, man. All right. How about the Mad Ant from Fort Wayne, the Fort Wayne Mad Ants? Easily the scariest looking mascot. Not only does Mad Ant look like the Harbinger of Doom, but he also does the Napoleon Dynamite dance just to further haunt your dreams. According to his profile, his goal is to make us smile. He is terrifying looking. Don't you think?
It's a very angry ant.
Well, his name is Mad Ant, so I guess they just wanted to make him as mad looking as possible. Esmeralda, what about Mad Ant? Did you see Mad Ant?
Wow.
Yeah.
Looks a little roided out.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what makes him so mad. When you're juicing, you get mad.
He looks like he'd be the type of to come at you and be like, how much you bench, bro?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No question. He does the Napoleon Dynamite dance. Okay. Let me pull another one here. And now, number one on this list is also another one of my favorites. Esmeralda, did you see number one on the list, the Stanford tree?
I did not.
Well, you got to see it. The Stanford tree from Stanford University. It is the most, it looks like, it's really difficult to describe, but doesn't it look like it was made in someone's garage? Like they just kind of threw it together and.
Did little kids draw it, and then they're like, we're going to recreate what you just drew.
Here's what the story is associated with this. And by the way, this list, you can see these things on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. We're discussing ridiculous mascots. The tree was introduced by the band in 1975 and received so much attention that it became the unofficial mascot. When you think about a tree as a mascot, it seems weird, but not completely bizarre. But then you look at the costume. With the big doe eyes, the huge grin, and what might be the only mascot without arms. Another unique part of this mascot is that one who dons the costume is responsible for making the tree the next season. Oh, so it gets made every season by the person who wears it? No one has thought to cut holes in the arms so you don't fall on your ass?
I did wonder why there's different pictures and different kind of
versions.
Yeah,
so you're responsible for making the tree. That's hilarious.
So some people have more artistic ability than others.
Clearly. And the picture that I'm looking at, this person who had to design that season's tree has no artistic talent whatsoever. Why would you not cut holes for your arms and then cover your arms in leaves and so you don't fall on your face? Because that's got to be dangerous. Your arms are inside the mascot? You just fall and bust your face.
In 2014, I guess they had a palm tree. That one had arms.
Oh, they can change the tree.
I mean, so it can be just a tree.
Right. It just says Stanford tree. So it could be the one I'm looking at looks to be a pine tree, I think.
Right. Yeah, I think
or
this
some
one.
Sort of Christmas tree that's left on the lot December 24th.
I would too. Those googly eyes.
Oh, man. By the way, Dan, can you look up when the mascot Super Bowl is? Because they do like a Super Bowl for mascots where they have them ride around on tricycles and, you know, and run around doing obstacle courses and stuff. I've watched it before on ESPN and nearly peed myself laughing watching it. It is so ridiculous. 708 area code. I'm so glad that somebody reminded me of this. There is a two-season series on Hulu called Behind the Mask. It's a documentary reality show that follows people in and out of their mascot costumes. I watched it. It's awesome. It's spectacular. And it covers all levels of mascot. Like each character or each person, it's a real person who does the job of being a mascot. And it goes from pro to high school and everything in between. So they pick like one pro mascot, one college, one minor, and one like high school mascot, and they follow them through one season. It's fantastic. It's called Behind the Mask. It's on Hulu. Oh, man, it's awesome. And so, let's see. 847 area code says that Milwaukee added the chorizo. Oh, that's right. And now there are five giant meatsicles running now. Meatsicles. Jay says that the mascot for the Kenosha Kingfish is a walleye snickering. Snickering walleye. That was my radio name in college. Yeah, snickering walleye. Here's some Sabbath. Oh, no, sorry. Here's some fish. See how that, see? See what I did there? Mike says, shouldn't the mascots for a team from Fort Wayne be named the Newtons? Oh. And then be what, giant Fig Newton cookie running around?
I think he's referring to Wayne Newton.
Yeah. Wayne Newton, because he's from Fort Wayne? Oh, Wayne Newton. Okay. So then what, like a giant... a giant head with big hair? Is that what the... It's just one giant Wayne Newton head with little legs at the bottom of his chin.
And he arranges fights, bare knuckle brawl fights for honor.
Oh, man. All right. All right. Are you ready for one more or two more mascot rules?
Okay.
They can upset fans. Well, I can see that, especially that ant.
Like upset them as in do something to them or
probably do something
make
them
angry?
Probably both. Despite the antics of Tommy Lasorda, most mascots get along with coaches just fine. The real adversaries can be fans. A person who was a mascot for a while says, complaints never come from coaches. It's from the guy sitting behind someone who wanted to help me propose to his girlfriend and I was blocking his view of two plays. He couldn't see around me and that's why we're always moving to stay active.
I would think, too, people would just be annoyed by them dancing like fools.
Yeah. Or, you know, like the football players and the cheerleaders were really annoyed when I started knocking stuff over and running out on the field during plays.
Right. I would think that wouldn't be good.
They sometimes like to scare dogs.
Why is there dogs at the stadium?
I used to love making dogs bark and freaking them out. I get it can be a little bit of a harassment, but... I don't do it as much as I used to. And that's a good question. Why are there dogs?
Was it dog day?
Yeah, dogs.
Isn't that a thing?
It is. Yeah, dog day.
I would think they wouldn't bring the mascot out for that day.
Yeah, that's
true. Dogs would get loose and go try to bite him.
And kill him.
Well, they're in the costume, so I think they'd be safe.
That is, no. They have birthday parties. Mascots rarely meet one another with the exception of their birthdays. Pro teams often use a character's birthdate as an excuse to throw a public relations party, inviting 4 to 6 mascots from elsewhere in the league so that they can meet.
It's like they're...
Well, it is their own little exclusive club.
Right. It's like they're some sort of animal or something. Like, we get them all together and then they, they interact.
Tommy Hawk has never met Skates.
Oh,
I think right now Tommy Hawk needs to meet Skates.
I don't know. Wolves and Hawks.
Oh, yeah. That's not good. That's not good at all. That's right. You know what Tommy Hawk's big move is?
What's
when you
that?
Pose with Tommy Hawk. Hey, Tommy, come here. He bites your head. Like, he puts your head inside his beak.
Oh, cool.
Like, your entire head. I got a picture.
Boy.
I'll show it to you. It's my head. Is like,
head.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like his signature move. Like, when you're going to pose with him, he pulls open the beak. The giant beak, and put your head in it, and then you snap the picture.
Like, that's kind of sad that he has to open his beak.
His beak is huge.
Right.
So he wants to fit your entire head in there, so your whole head is inside Tommy Hawk's mouth.
But just for the sake of let's pretend he's real.
Well,
it move on its own.
You'd be
it's
decapitated
just
if that were the case.
No, but it's sad that he has to open with his own hands.
Okay.